Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Luke 12, verse 1 to 12. If you have that in your Bible, let's go through it. It says, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living, that it is active, though that it is sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating to the division of joint and marrow, soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts of our hearts. So, Father, we come to your word. We come to you. We thank you that you are here and that you are speaking to us by your word. Lord, speak to each individual as you will. We say, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would see the wonderful truth that sets us free, that is in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So today we're talking about, who do you fear? Who do you fear? To fear is to be afraid, is to be alarmed. To fear can be to be scared, to be terrified. But to fear can also be to revere, to respect, to worship. To fear can actually and is supposed to be a proper fear of God. Revering God. Worshiping God, being in awe of God. We were born to fear, but we were actually born to fear God, to fear the Lord. I was taught to fear people based on their position, based on authority. This is all through growing up. We see it throughout the world. It's just part of our sinful nature. We fear people based on position, authority, performance, what they've achieved. Like, my fear is next level sometimes. You know, these little birds, chickens, there's big chickens, there's small chickens. I've had a fear of chickens and hens all my life. You bring a chicken here, live, and you ask me to hold it, you are kidding. I'm not holding that thing. That thing is going to peck me. That thing is going to fluff around. It's going to... none of that here. I grew up with chickens everywhere in Africa and Zimbabwe. We had chickens. We were breeding chickens. We had layers. We had broilers. We were breeding the things. We would kill them at home. I wouldn't be part of it. Everyone else was doing it. They would cut the thing off at the throat. And then they would pluck that thing, get some boiling water. They would clean it up, get all the stuff out. And I would get involved once it's roasting and it's ready to eat. That's where I come in. I like all kinds of chicken. I remember my mom chasing me when we didn't have chickens, but they'd bought a chicken for everyone to eat. Chasing me with the chicken, with their hand, because she knew I wouldn't hold it. I'm not a fast runner, but that day I was. So that's one of my fears. So don't even think about trying to help me with that fear. It's not one that keeps me stumbling or keeps me away from the will of God. If I have to deal with it, I'll deal with it. But if Donald Trump walked into the room, if Michael Jordan just walked into the room, Prime Minister of Australia walked into the room, how would everyone feel in this place? Like, whoa, the President of the United States is here. Oh, Michael Jordan. Bow down to Michael Jordan. But that's what people will do. That's what people will say. But what about when God walks in the room? But God's in the room right now. He's been in this room the whole time. He's with us the whole time. But do we fear him as he's to be feared? We can talk about, I love the Lord. It's good to love the Lord. But do we fear him in the way that he's supposed to be feared? That reverence, that awe. I think we can become casual. I become casual about God. I become casual about his presence in my life, in my heart. We can easily reduce the fear of God to how we fear men, man, woman. Based on how we fear people and authority, we reduce God's glory to the image of man. See, there's a fear that can restrict us. There's a fear that can keep you stuck, that can limit you in what the Lord has for you. And Jesus is talking about that in Luke 12. Who do you fear? Luke 12 verse 4 says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. Who are these disciples fearing? They're fearing the Pharisees. The Pharisees were making threats against Jesus. They were saying he is not the Son of God. They were on his case. He was on their case because they were spreading the wrong message. The Pharisees were part of a sect that was so religious, that were all about traditions, and they would interpret the Jewish law in such ways. They were bringing traditions and observing them in such a way. They were saying, if you're not doing this, you're breaking the law. You're breaking the word of God. They were equating their traditions, not the word of God, but their traditions with Old Testament scripture. And they were questioning Jesus, and they were just waiting for a way to put him to death. And Jesus could have been scared, and his disciples were starting to freak out. And Jesus says, do not be terrified of the Pharisees. Do not be terrified of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is used in bread, to make bread. It's so small, but it spreads. It spreads and makes that bread. And the leaven, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees was spreading the wrong message, lies and threats. So Jesus says to them, do not fear the Pharisees. Whom have you feared? Whom do you fear? Whom do I fear? Whom are you fearing in your life right now? Do not fear man. We are not to fear man. We are not to fear human beings. Do not fear man. That's my first point today I want to talk about for a little bit. Do not fear man. It's simple. But it's not simple. Do not fear man. If we were able to not fear people, we would have so much breakthrough in the Lord. Do not fear man. Who is it that you fear? Is it your boss? Is it your wife? It's got to be a healthy fear, Michael, I hope. If it's not, you got to work on that. Do you fear your husband? We're talking about that fear that gets you stuck, where you cower, where you can't be yourself. Is it someone in your family? Is it your neighbor? I don't know. Is it someone in the church? Do not fear man. John Bevere, a Christian author, said these words in his book, The Fear of the Lord. If you desire the praise of man, you will fear man. If you desire the praise of man, you will fear man. If you fear man, you will serve him, for you will serve what you fear. You will serve what you fear. I'll read it one more time. If you desire the praise of man, you will fear man. If you fear man, you will serve him, for you will serve what you fear. See, we can't fear man and fear God at the same time. We just can't. You can't fear God and fear man at the same time. Fear of the Lord will free you from fear of man. Fearing our God, the fear of the Lord will actually free you from worrying about what people are going to think of you, from worrying about what people are saying. Doesn't mean you're reckless, you don't consider people, but we can be so stuck. What are they going to think? They're going to reject me, they're going to deny me. But who are you serving? Are you serving the masses, the society, the culture, the people? Or is God your number one? Who you fear and everything flows out of. Who are you fearing? The fear of the Lord will free you from the fear of man. But this doesn't mean that you start looking down on others. We can get so proud in the fear of the Lord. Oh, I fear God. It's just whatever the Lord wants. I'm just about that. That we can forget about people. But when you fear the Lord, it actually means then you're going to love people because he loves people. When you fear the Lord, you start to see people through his eyes. It doesn't matter how much they've achieved. It doesn't matter how rich they are, how poor they are, what degree they've got, what table they sit on. It doesn't matter what board they're on, what prime minister. They are a man and a woman just like you and me, God's child. So we're to look at them as God's child. We're equal in his eyes. So you don't look down on people because you fear the Lord, but you actually love people because you see them through his eyes. But it doesn't mean you start to look down on yourself because you're considering others better than yourself, but you see yourself through his eyes and you see them through his eyes. Who do you fear? Do not fear man. What does the fear of the Lord actually do for our relationships? If you have a fear for the Lord, if you are growing in fearing the Lord is something that is throughout the Bible. You just start to study that, you would see it throughout the Bible. The fear of the Lord. There's a spirit of the fear of the Lord, talked about it in Isaiah 11. But what does it do for our relationships when you fear the Lord? Someone said this morning in devotion that the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. What does fear of the Lord do for my relationships, for your relationships? You look at the life of Jesus as a little boy going from 12. The Bible says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom. So he increased in wisdom. What's wisdom? The fear of the Lord. So Jesus increased in wisdom. What did it do for his relationships? It says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He said he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. So he had favor with people. So as we fear the Lord, our relationships get healthier. We have favor. Not that people are like, whoa, they're so like, they fear the Lord. Don't get around them. But it actually brings favor to your relationships. So do not fear man. You know, I joke around about Donald Trump and Michael Jordan. But, you know, people, we were made to worship. So we start to worship people that are heroes in certain things. Even in churches, you got celebrities throughout the world. If you never heard celebrities, look it up in the dictionary. Maybe the urban one. But they're church pastors or ministry people that have become celebrities because people love them so much, follow them so much, listen to them so much. It's hero worship. But we actually need to go from hero worship to a healthy respect. There's nothing wrong with honoring leaders in the government, leaders in our communities, leaders in our workplace, our parents. But it's got to be healthy respect, not worship. Because we're made to worship, we can easily focus on the wrong thing and put so much emphasis on pastors here, pastors there, pastors everywhere. How much time do you spend with the Lord by yourself compared to how much time you spend listening to that pastor on YouTube? God's got a direct line with you. Awesome to get revelation from others, but that's got to be secondary. Even what I'm doing now has got to be secondary. You've got to be hearing from the Lord for yourself during the week. When you're in the fear of the Lord, in awe, and he's telling you how to walk, how to go, what to do. Healthy respect for people. Who do you fear? What can they do to you? The people that we fear, what can they actually do to us? Psalm 118 verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Where's the threats coming from? Where's the lies coming from? What can they actually do to you? The Lord is on your side. Do not fear man. The second thing this morning is do not fear death. Do not fear death. Verse 4 says, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell." Yes, I tell you, fear him. Did Jesus just say God casts into hell? Did Jesus just say God kills? Whoa. Why fear people that are just able to kill and they can't do anything else after that? We're to fear the one who has authority. See, God is aware. God cares. He has authority over when we die, when we're born. Yes, the spirit of death gets involved. Yes, the enemy is involved. But the day you're going to die is up to the Lord. He's over it. He's over that. What Jesus is saying here is not so much, oh, you know, be scared because God's going to kill and you're going to go to hell. But he's saying, I have, my God, my Father has eternity in his hands. He has eternity in his hands, so that's who we're to fear. People can kill us by their words. People can kill us by gossip. People can kill us by how they talk. I don't mean like literally kill. But I'm saying those are the things that bring death to areas of our lives. But God is so much bigger than that. He's so much bigger than that. He is the one that casts the devil himself into Gehenna, which is hell. Jake is like, what's Gehenna? It's not Shona, bro. It's not African. That is, that look it up, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. That is the lake of fire. The Lord, by His grace, sent Jesus Christ to die, to live and to die. He resurrected, He defeated death. And He made His presence, the Holy Spirit, available so that He could live in us day by day, so He could be glorified. That is life. He gave us resurrection. Like, we don't have to fear death. When death comes, we pass on to be with the Lord. So we don't have to fear death. The things people do to us, they can't impact our eternity. God impacts our eternity. So He's the one that we are to fear. See, when it comes to death, I grew up with the great fear of death. At the age of 5, I lost my grandma. And there was a massive funeral. People are wailing everywhere in Zimbabwe. It's just, I know in some other cultures, it is just wailing like you've never heard. Day and night for days. They'll have the body, the corpse, in the house, in the coffin, for days, just crying. I couldn't go in there. I had to sit in the car. Couldn't go in there. I'm seeing people crying. I'm seeing a coffin being taken to the cemetery. We go to the cemetery. I can't be part of that. I just grew up fearing death. I would hear stories about ghosts, about witches, about all these things. My mom always told me, don't stress about the dark things. As long as you don't play with it, it's not going to touch you. And I've never played with it. And it's never touched me. Because there's some stories back in Africa of things happening. But I grew up still with a fear. Where I'd wake up in the night and I'd look at the gate and be like, is there something at the gate? There was nothing at the gate. But I grew up being scared to see a dead body. I get to 28, 29. I'm living in London for a couple of years. My beloved uncle passes away at a young age. He's far away from home. He's with his family. But his body has to be repatriated back to Zimbabwe. Before he passes away, he was long-term sick. He says to me, man, you're going to have to take care of business when I die. I'm like, are you for real? What does that look like? He dies. Next thing, I'm having to be the project manager for his funeral. Everyone's looking to me. Steve, who can't even look at a dead body? Anyway, we organize the whole thing. I end up in a funeral home. I see his body there. Freaked me out. Traumatized me for months. I'd keep seeing that picture. Maybe 9 years later, I'm a pastor. Do a journey with a young man. He's got a child. His wife is pregnant. He passes away a few weeks before his wife gives birth. They call me, pastor, can you come? He's passed away at home. Can you come pray? Bring him back to life. What? Jesus can do that. Jesus has done that. You're believing for it. I'm going to believe for it, Lord. But do I actually have to be? He's actually dead. Now I'm going to have to see a dead body. But man, I tell you, the grace of the Lord just came upon me. I walked in that room with Pastor Barry, and there was people lined up in the whole house, and there's a dead body just lying there. He's been dead for like 3 hours. He's just lying there. His child is just walking over his feet, just chilling. It's kind of normal, but people are grieving. And I'm in the zone. All right, we're going to pray for resurrection. We just start praying. But as I'm praying, I sense from the Lord that the Lord wants him to himself. He's now with the Lord. So I transition that prayer out to say, hey, he's dancing with the angels. We do all that. I'm feeling what the Lord's called me to do. I go home. I'm like, wow, how did I do that? But for the next few months, every day, I'd wake up at 5 a.m. to spend time with the Lord, walk out of my bedroom, our bedroom. I would see his body on my floor. I'd get that picture because I was so scared of death. I'm being scared of death of loved ones. But I started to face that fear. I started to go, well, that's just a body. His spirit's actually now with the Lord. He's with the Lord. And I did counseling, prayed. That prayer ministry took me back to that day when I was 5. And it was like, so where was the Lord when you were in the car? He was there with me. He was grieving for my grandma, and he was just with me. And I tell you, God set me free from the fear of death, from fearing that. For some, it can seem like, oh, how can you be scared of that? But I've done many funerals since then, and it's not even a thing. Like, the coffin's there, I'm like, bless the family, bless this person's with the Lord now. And the Lord has set me free from that. But there's lies that we believe about these things that the enemy gives us to say, well, this is dangerous. This is going to do this. This is going to do that. It's off the enemy. Why would the Lord want me to be scared of someone who's dead or something that is dark? Darkness is real. The enemy is real. But God is over it. He's over that. He's above that. So do not fear death. What do you fear? What do you fear? What is it that you fear? Is it even real? What's God's truth about it? When you think about your fears, you've actually then actually going to think, but what does God actually say about that? What's the truth? Because we've heard it many times that fear, the acronym F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. It's not real. The enemy uses fear to keep us stuck. But God is pleased by faith. Faith is what moves us. Faith is what moves his heart. It is impossible to please the Lord without faith. Right? It says he rewards those who believe that he exists and those who diligently seek him. So false evidence appearing real. What lies are you believing? Do not fear man. Do not fear death. Do not fear lies. Do not fear lies. Verse 7 says, fear not. In verse 7 of Luke chapter 12, towards the end of it, it says, fear not. We're not to fear lies. We are not to fear lies. What lies are you listening to? It says, talks about the sparrows, the birds. God looks after them. It says, are not, how much are two sparrows worth? Five sparrows, actually. It says, 2 pennies. And God has not forgotten about any of them. It says, he even has numbered the hairs on your head. I know some of us, some of you, might not have much hair anymore. But whatever hair you've got, he knows the detail. He knows it so well. See, there's many lies that we're listening to. What lies are you listening to? What lies are you listening to? You might fear being lonely. But God says, I'm with you. His word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, the world, situation, circumstance, calendars could tell you, you're lonely, you're going to be lonely, you've got no one. But he's with us. God with us. What lies are you listening to? You could be fearing a lack of money, lack of security, lack of certainty about your future. But God's our security. He is. He wants to be more than enough. He's our security. Yes, he provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. All those things will never satisfy. If you're fearing a lack in your life, you've got to actually go, but what is the truth? And God will show you. Maybe you need to make some adjustments, but you've got to focus on the truth, not get stuck in fear. There's so many lies the enemy will try to throw at us. What lies is he throwing at you? The future. You might think, oh, I don't have much of a future. But what does the Lord say? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for a future, not to harm you. He has awesome plans for all of us. That is the truth. You know, we might fear through lies, fear to stand up for Jesus in the workplace, with our extended families. Oh, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? They're going to reject me. They're going to look at me differently. They're going to shut me down. But what does Jesus say? What's the truth? It's right in the scripture. Jesus says to his disciples and to all the thousands listening, he says, and in verse 11, he says, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, when they bring you to that, do not be anxious, it says. Do not be anxious. When you're being persecuted, when people are talking down on you because of your faith, because of how you live, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. How cool is that? In that moment, the Holy Spirit will actually teach you what to say. You don't even have to prepare for that moment. But the only way you're going to know to rely on the Holy Spirit in that moment is if you've been walking with Him, if you have been sort of prepared. But nothing can prepare you for that moment, because He'll give you something fresh, the wisdom and the words to say. He is with us. We need to stand up for Him. He says to His disciples and to all these people in verse 8, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angel of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. We are not to fear the lies. What does He say about tomorrow? Does He say, singing, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is gonna be all right. Is that in the Bible? Singing, don't worry about a thing. Bob Marley, I don't know what he was smoking, but he says, I woke up this morning smiling at the rising sun. And he talks about birds. He goes, three little birds is by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, singing, this is my message to you. Ooh, ooh. Then he goes, don't worry. You guys know this song. I know you just want to break up. Singing, don't worry. Then we get the drums going. But he's talking about the birds. Who else is talking about the birds? The Bible is talking about the birds. You look in Luke chapter 12, it talks about later on, don't worry about tomorrow. He looks after the ravens. He looks after the birds. He looks after the lilies. How much more will He look after us? We don't need to fear tomorrow. We need to fear Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Thank you, Bob Marley. I meditated on Bob Marley for many years in my life. But yes, He's not the authority. He's not the word. That was just a little something. So do not fear lies. We can fear the lies of culture. We actually need to influence culture. But we are so easily influenced by culture. There's years that have gone, centuries that have gone, where the church actually influenced the culture, the society, the government. Lord, bring back those days. But it starts with us, wherever the Lord has put you, to just stand up for Christ in all the different industries, all the different types of work, sport, whatever it is, all these arenas God puts us in. Whom do you fear? So maybe when it comes to fear, maybe we're focusing on the wrong thing. Are you focusing on your lack? Are you focusing on yourself, what you have, what you bring? That's what brings out fear, because we're focusing on the wrong thing. We actually need to focus on Him. So do not fear, man. We can focus so much. Sometimes I'm like, man, I keep looking at Instagram and I just walk away feeling so discouraged. Because I'm thinking, what am I doing? Because I'm just hearing about what someone else is doing, what they're doing, how they're going. What about me? Put me in there. I'm focusing on the wrong thing. You start to belittle what you're doing because you're focusing on what everyone else is doing. And then fear comes in because of that. But we're supposed to be focusing on Him and what He wants for us. We need to stop looking at others and look at Him. So don't focus on others. Don't focus on yourself in those ways. Yes, we have to love ourselves. We have to look after ourselves. I'm not saying we don't do that. But we're to fear God. So the last point this morning as the band comes up. The last point is fear God. Fear God who is love and who is truth. That's who we're to fear. Fear God. Don't fear man. Don't fear death. Don't fear lies. Don't fear rejection. Don't fear change. Don't fear denial. Don't fear disappointment. Just fear Him, the fear of the Lord. He is love. He is truth.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.